You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are joined by one of the great investigative reporters of all time, as far as I'm concerned, Claudia Rosette. These days, she blogs at PJ Media's Rosette Reports. You can also find her columns at Forbes.com. She is a foreign policy fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, which is all well and good, but she has an extraordinary pedigree as a reporter and an editorialist for the Wall Street Journal, often in exotic foreign assignments that have given her perspectives on and an opportunity to really do extraordinary investigatory writing about things like the Oil for Food program and Tiananmen Square and more. It's always a delight to have her with us, especially as she has been writing recently about another angle on this saga that we touched on with Mike Waller. What was the Obama administration up to with the Russians and others? Specifically, what role did it play in unmasking individuals, Americans, who were supposed to be protected when they were innocently enough, presumably, caught up in wiretaps or surveillance by the National Security Agency? She's been writing on this subject, and we're anxious to hear her thoughts. Claudia Rosette, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you, Frank.
So I know there are a lot of questions that are as yet unanswered, but give us what you've got in the way of the facts and some of those questions about specifically your old beat at the UN, Samantha Power, President Obama's UN ambassador, and her role in this unmasking business.
Yeah, Frank, the story gets ever more disturbing. There's a constitutional right to privacy, and here what's involved are foreign intelligence intercepts where the names of U.S. citizens are redacted out of them, so the foreign intelligence can be relayed to senior government officials with the appropriate clearances, but even they don't have sort of immediate access to the names of any U.S. citizens involved. And this sort of spun out of, as the Russia probe went forward, Congress discovered especially the House Intelligence Committee has been pursuing this recently, that there was this extraordinary number of unmasking requests. The senior officials with high-level classification clearances can request the identities of these redacted names of U.S. citizens in foreign intelligence intercepts. And if they're approved by U.S. intelligence authorities, they get back what's supposed to be very secret, very closely held information. It's not for dissemination to everybody. It's classified, highly secret. What's emerged is that a huge number of unmasking requests were made in the final year of the Obama administration, apparently going right up to the inauguration of President Trump. And some of the names of some of those unmasked appear to have leaked to the press. So the notable instance that really got Congress asking questions was General Mike Flynn. Now, there are questions about what he actually did, but the further problem here is, how did his name end up leaked to the press in connection with what should have been classified information?
And part of this has to do with the great expansion of the number of people who were given access to the unmasked data as well, suggesting that there was some desire actually to have this information leaked.
That was at the very end of the Obama administration, after the election, which they expected Hillary Clinton to win. She didn't. And suddenly there was apparently this great scramble to do something. But to the question of Samantha Power, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee wrote a letter in July that was just fascinating, in which he outlined that there had been a lot of these strange unmasking requests, but in particular, there was an official whose job had no discernible intelligence function who had made hundreds of these requests. Well, it is clearly Samantha Power who testified behind closed doors to the House Intelligence Committee a week ago Friday, and her testimony is secret. There are so many secrets here, Frank. But last Tuesday, Representative Trey Gowdy, who sits on the Intelligence Committee, told Fox News that her testimony is that these requests were not made by her, that they might have been under her name, but they were not. She did not make the requests. The number actually made exceeded exponentially the number she said she had actually made. Well, that raises the question of, if she did not make the requests, then who did? Because now we're into territory where, as Ambassador John Bolton told us, us being myself and my co-author for this piece, which is on Fox News, George Russell, now you're into a territory that's, quote, potentially criminal. Because for somebody else to have been submitting requests without her knowledge or consent, now we're into areas that are really potentially the wrong side of the law. So assuming that she did not actually make these requests, it raises a host of questions, including when the information came back. Apparently, a lot of these requests, if not possibly all of them, we don't know, were granted. Where did the information go? Because, again, it's supposed to be closely held. If the request comes in somebody's name, the information is supposed to go to that person. So did we have a scene, you know, question piles upon question here. Did we have a scene in which she was unaware that requests were being made in her name, but she was receiving a flow of hundreds of unmasking intercepts with the names unmasked?
The old question, what did she know and when did she know it? At the very least, she had presumably some reason to believe that somebody was acting on her behalf.
There's another person who was subpoenaed, she wasn't subpoenaed, but the House Intelligence Committee asked for the records from the National Security Agency. They didn't subpoena in his case, but they asked for the records of all his unmasking requests, and that was Ben Rhodes, who was the deputy advisor on the National Security Council. Another person where the records of her unmaskings they did subpoena were Susan Rice, who was the head in the second term of the National Security Council and was also the ambassador to the UN during Obama's first term. What you see when you look at who they have asked for the unmasking records of in this House probe is that then there's a nexus of the National Security Council and the U.S. mission to the U.N. And again, we wait to see what's actually confirmed. We need facts about this, and that this has been going on behind closed doors. But it does look at, there's this strange fact of the ambassador to the U.S. mission having apparently her name on hundreds of requests during the final year, right up to the inauguration. And this interest in the people whom she had worked with previously on the National Security Council. And then there's one more note to add to this, and that is the people involved the people who have become names of interest in the House probe have all lawyered up, naturally enough. They've lawyered up with a set of people, of lawyers who all worked in the Obama administration, in the Obama White House, on the National Security Council.
A familiar cast of characters, the circling the wagons. Claudia, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. There's so much more to talk about here, especially since we've now got, I'm afraid, further indications that the story about Russian collusion and those involved in that story is a dramatis personae that is growing, shall we say. We must come back to you again on this soon. Thank you, Claudia, so much for your time today. I very much appreciate it. Next up, Gordon Chang joins us. We'll take stock with him of what's happening in Asia right after this.